I understand it was 3-3 just before the services began tonight. Before getting into the lesson, I'd like to take just a moment to do something. Friday was our anniversary, our 31st. You may want to send me a card of congratulations and Judy a card of sympathy. But since it was, it caused me to think of something that I want to do and should do often. I want all of you to know, and Judy to know, how much I appreciate the support that she gives me in the preaching of the gospel, how important she is to our work. I'm more in the open, and you're always telling me complimentary or encouraging words, and I appreciate those, and she's more in the background, but she's just as much an important part of our work as I am. I think she's an ideal preacher's wife. She knows how to be involved when she needs to be, and she knows how to support from the background when she needs to do that. And I just wanted to take a moment tonight to say publicly how much I appreciate the support that she gives me, and many times things that she does makes it possible for me to do the things that I do. It is true that behind every successful man, there's a good woman. I heard another angle of that a while back that said behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law. And that may be true also. But I think in this case that the other applies, and I want her to know and all of you to know how much I appreciate her. I've been announcing now in the bulletin and in the services that our subject tonight is Go to the Heaven of Your Choice. I imagine you may have wondered a bit about that. And I hope that you will listen closely to the entirety of the lesson because it is important that you understand where each part fits in order for me to get across the point that I want to tonight, with the main point not really dealing with heaven, but associated with what we're going to say in the first part of the lesson. We had some of the most beautiful singing in the last few minutes that I've heard as we sang about those songs or sang those songs that talk about heaven. That last song especially, it just seemed like everybody was singing as we were singing about Zion and living with God in heaven. We like to sing songs like that. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said that he knew a man, evidently talking about himself, who was caught up into the third heaven. There the word heaven referring to God's dwelling place and the place where we believe that God's followers will go when this life is over. He said he didn't know for sure whether it was a vision or where he was literally caught up, but he talked about it being a place of paradise. He used a word there to describe it that's a very outstanding word. And then after having said that, in verse 4, he said he heard unspeakable words which he could not reveal at that time. I'm not for sure why he couldn't reveal them, but I tend to think that it may have been rather difficult for him to put into words the great beauty of heaven. As we sang a few minutes ago, how beautiful heaven must be. Of all the things that I've ever thought, I believe I want to go to heaven more than anything else. And I'm sure that all of you agree with me in that statement. Think with me for just a moment about some of the things that are said in the Bible that describe heaven. Here it's said to be a paradise in 2 Corinthians 12, 4. In John 14, in verse 2, the word mansions is used. Another superlative word. In Revelation 21, 18 through 21, the idea of gold and pearl and jasper, along with other precious stones, are associated with heaven. The street of gold, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper. In Revelation 21, 1 through 7, it is described as being a place of no tears, and no sorrows, and no pain, and no death. In Revelation 21 and 23, it's described as a place where there is no sun. In Revelation 22 and verse 5, a place of no night. In Matthew 22 and verse 30, a place where there's no marriage, neither married or given in marriage. In Revelation 4:10 and 5:13, it's described as a place where there will be continuous worship. I have a tendency to say around the clock, but that's not an appropriate statement because there will be no clock. Continuous worship forever and ever around the throne of God. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 indicates to us that there are some restrictions placed on who will be accepted into heaven. Other passages say the same thing. Passages such as Matthew 25, where there is a judgment scene, and there is a dividing between some on the right and some on the left. Those on the right will go to heaven, and those on the left will be told to depart from the presence of God. Now, these are just some of the things that are mentioned in the Bible to describe heaven as we understand it to be described, a place that God has prepared, a place that is described at least in terms that you and I can understand, and we identify with these concepts, though he may very well be using physical terms to describe spiritual settings. We still draw the conclusion from passages such as this that it's a beautiful place. And I just can't imagine, in one way, that anybody would ever think that anything else would be needed. But let me reason with you for a few minutes using a little bit of irony. I'm going to try to get in touch with God and suggest that he prepare some other places of abode for heaven or for the eternity. Don't you think people ought to be given a choice where they will spend an eternity? I know some people who like silver better than gold. Ought not God fix a place where there is a silver street so that those who really prefer silver over gold will be able to make that choice? Ought we not get in touch with him and maybe even tell people that we as preachers can assure you that this will be done, and ask him to make the gates out of walnut instead of pearl? And perhaps we might ask him to make the wall out of marble and put some diamonds in it. Because, you see, people, especially as we're usually told, those that are the ladies, prefer diamonds. And this, by the way, you see, is going to be for an eternity. Don't you think we ought to ask God to make some different heavens so that we can have our choice? And then you look at some of these things that are said, and somebody might say, well, I'm afraid I'll be disappointed there. There's no sun. I've been accustomed to the sun, seeing it every morning as it rises and as it sets in the evening. And I think God ought to make me a heaven where there is a sun. As I read 1 Corinthians 15, I find that the body is going to be changed. And you know, I've grown rather accustomed to this body in which I've lived, and I think God ought to give me a choice and let me take this body with me just like it is to live for an eternity. Why should he have to change anything? Don't you think at least he ought to give me a choice as to whether or not I want it changed? And then this idea that there's no marriage. You mean I'm going to have to spend an eternity without a mate? Well, let's get in touch with God and ask him if he won't change that and at least give us a choice and have one heaven where you can be married and another heaven where you cannot be married, so that you'll have a choice, you see, of whichever of those two you want to go. And worship for an eternity, never ending? You mean we're going to have an institution where there will be no opportunity for recreation, no opportunity to watch a Super Bowl, no opportunity to be involved in anything else? You mean I'm going to have to attend the entirety of that worship service to worship God for an eternity? Don't you think I ought to have a choice in the matter, to where I can at least worship him for an hour every once in a while, but certainly not for an eternity? And then, in the thinking of some people, I just don't see how I could ever be a part of a group of people that are in an institution who think they're the only ones and that everybody else is somewhere else. And you take there where he says that this heaven that he's talking about is one where there'll be few that find it. Not only is it going to be a place with a restricted entrance requirement, but relative to all people, the most of the people are not even going to be allowed into that place. Surely, God, you can make us another heaven where there's another choice, to where we can be members of something for an eternity, where we can be more tolerant.
And we can show more grace. And we can allow people to do what they want to as long as they're sincere. Why, in fact, when I read from a passage such as Matthew 7, 21 through 23, I find it saying that this heaven that we're talking about tonight is one where people are going to come and beg God to enter, and He won't let them. My Lord, we've done all these things in Thy name. We thought we were right. And He says, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you indicates you never knew me. Now, you think I want to spend an eternity with a group of people in a place that's going to be restricted like that? Well, surely we ought to get in touch with God and tell Him to now make some other places so people can have some choices. And some of us preachers then began to tell people, and people would believe it if some preacher told them. Some people would. Well, there's going to be a choice when you get to the day of judgment where you have a street of gold or a street of silver or this or that or the other. And you're sitting there and saying, how ridiculous can you be? But now let me ask you something. Did not the same God that made the institution of heaven make the institution of the home and the institution of the church? And did not the same God who described one pattern for one heaven in this one book describe one pattern for the home in this book and one pattern for the church in this one book? And yet it is almost the accepted thing today to say that it doesn't make any difference as far as the home and the church are concerned. Even homosexuality is referred to as an alternate lifestyle, approved in some religions as an alternate lifestyle, and even again approved in religion under some circumstances. You have polygamy. You have people living together without abiding by the laws of the land or the laws of God. You have group marriages that claim to be some kind of a home. You have marriage, divorce, and remarriage to the extent that the bottom line is basically today anybody can do whatever they want to anytime. And yet, it seems that 90 to 99% of those people would say, well, it's all right. God's going to approve of it. You see, He's giving us a choice. And I doubt that you can go through the 7 days of this week without seeing somewhere in a phone book or on a milk carton or on an advertisement, go to the church of your choice. Although the Bible pictures just as specifically the organization of the entrance requirements to the worship in and the daily living of its members of the one New Testament church for which Jesus died and shed His blood. Yet today there's disagreement on every topic you can mention relative to the church. With the general religious feeling, it seems, in most communities that it doesn't matter, that we're all going, here's usually what's said, we're all going to the same place, but we're going our different ways. The God who made one place made one way. And I have just as much right tonight to stand up here and tell you that there are many heavens and that you can go to the heaven of your choice as I do to stand up here and tell you that there are many churches with God's approval and you can go to the church of your choice. And that there are many types of family settings of God's approval and you can have your choice. God instituted the home, Genesis 2. And He set up a pattern that even Jesus said was from the beginning. God set up the church in Acts 2. And He did give us a pattern where he has revealed to us how it's to be organized and how it's to function and how it is to be the body of the saved, the body of the saved that are interested in going to the heaven. And yet man has altered it on every corner and every hand. And here's something else that's rather interesting. God is the one who says who will go into that one heaven. Matthew 25. He is also the one who says who will go into that one church. Acts 2:47. And he is also the one who joins together in that one approved married relationship. Matthew 19. And I say to you tonight that I have just as much authority to tell you you can go to the heaven of your choice as I do to tell you you can go to the church of your choice with God's approval. Certainly God allows for our individual differences and our individual capacities. I believe the Bible teaches that even in heaven that will be true. He provides for our individual differences and our individual capacities in the church and in the family setting. But he has never made but one family pattern with his approval. He has never made but one church with his approval. And he's never made but one heaven with his approval. And folks, if it matters whether or not you and I accept what the Bible says about the gold and the pearls and the jasper, and that there's no marriage there and there's no son there and there'll be worship for the eternity, and that those who are not written in the book of life will not go there, and those who are in the broad way will not go there, if those things matter with heaven, the truth matters with the church. And what we require and teach, let me back up on that. What God requires and we teach as entrance requirements into the church, and what God requires and we are to teach just like he requires it and teaches it as far as what is right in worship in the church and what is right in Christian living in the church, if we're going to teach what he teaches about heaven, we have the same responsibility to teach what he teaches about the church, and it does matter. Go to the heaven of your choice. Go to the church of your choice. Have the alternate lifestyle of your choice family-wise? No. One God sent one Christ to establish one body in which the saved can prepare to go to one heaven. And there is no other promise. I want to go to heaven more than anything else. And I honestly believe with all my heart that if I'm going to heaven, I've got to go through the church of the New Testament. I have a choice in the matter. My choice is to be in heaven or the one other place. I have a choice in the matter as far as the church is concerned, to be in the New Testament church or not to be in it. That's just how simple it is. We plead with all of us to stand on that great restoration plea of going back to the unity and oneness of the New Testament church and to teach that unity and oneness as we prepare to live in that one place that God has prepared, heaven itself. And if we teach that, we will continue to teach that you must, not you can choose if you want to, that you must believe in him, repent of your sins, confess his name, be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, worship according to his pattern, live the Christian life as he has told us. In order to hear those words, enter in to heaven when this life is over. That's the reason we continue to appeal to people to be New Testament Christians, to be in that one church that Jesus purchased, to go to that one heaven that he's prepared. And if you're not on your way tonight, you need to get in that way by coming as together we stand and sing.
watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming.
When for